Welcome to another Evidence Podcast. Our goal is to provide valuable information from experts on how you can protect yourself. Today's topic is a phenomenon known as workplace bullying. We are speaking with Dr. Gary Namy of the Workplace Bullying Institute in Bellingham, Washington. Dr. Gary Namy is America's most established authority on workplace bullying as author, researcher, consultant, personal coach, and founder of the Legislative Campaign. He and his wife, Dr. Ruth, co-wrote The Bully at Work and started the Workplace Bullying Institute. For employers, as the work doctor, Gary writes anti-bullying policies and sustaining programs. Gary, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Well, thank you very much for asking me to join you here. I have always been impressed with Evidence's project. I think the digital diary is a pretty great service. I see it as a great value because we deal with targets of workplace bullying all the time, and they have to marshal their evidence, and it gets lost. If it doesn't get stolen, it gets lost in the chaos. So I think it's a pretty good way to help them prove their case.
Well, let's talk a little bit about workplace bullying. Could you start off by just telling us, what is workplace bullying?
Well, I'll tell you what it is not. It's not incivility or rudeness, but it is repeated health-harming mistreatment that's characterized as either verbal abuse or conduct that's threatening, intimidating, or humiliating, or sabotage of work, actually interfering with work getting done. It's all about the bully or the perpetrator's need to accomplish their personal agenda at the expense of the company's business or the government agency's public service mission.
Well, that sounds like it could be very common in today's workplace. I bet a lot of people have experienced workplace bullying. Is workplace bullying a big problem in the U.S. today?
It is a big problem. We conducted at the Workplace Bullying Institute the first national survey of bullying in 2007. So it predated the recession, and the statistics were stunning. Zogby International collected the data for us, and it's a truly representative national study about all adult Americans. 13% are bullied right now, according to the definition I just gave you. 24% have been bullied, but are not now being bullied. That's 37% of the workforce. That's 54 million Americans. You add another 12% who said they've witnessed it, they've seen it, but they haven't actually had it happen to them. And you have 49% of all adult Americans, 71 million, at least in the workforce, 71 million Americans with the direct experience. So, yeah, it's a problem of epidemic proportions. We just don't talk enough about it because of all the shame involved. So we call it the silent epidemic.
I bet a lot of people out there don't even realize or didn't realize that bullying was such a big problem in the United States. Can you give us just two examples of workplace bullying?
You know, it's interesting. When you're bullied, you don't necessarily know it. It's usually your family or your physician who catches on to it, notices the changes in you that you've tended to ignore because of the slow onset, and then they say you've got to make it stop. So it's fascinating. And the reason that bullying is so problematic is the surprise element, which causes the health harm. It shatters a person's worldview. There's the story of the California school teacher with 20 years experience without ever once being reprimanded, and then suddenly having a new superintendent come into her district who tormented her because she dared to challenge him with respect to how he kept the books, his accounting methods. Essentially, he was a thief. And what he did is he covered his theft with bluster and bravado and noise and confusion and just being a raging lunatic. And he tormented her because she made the mistake of telling him that she had caught his fraudulent practice. She had a breakdown, an emotional breakdown at his hands, suffered post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, a war wound, for being a teacher who actually cared about public funds and cared about her students. And his torment of her broke her down, so she, with the end result that she has a very, very rare manifestation where PTSD converted to spasms throughout her body. It cost her her health, her career, her family. All for nothing. All because she ran into one crazy superintendent. In the corporate world, I was recently coaching a woman who had given the company 5 good years as a licensed mental health professional and was quite happy in her job. And she was located, she was working for a group at a different location. And where she was actually physically located and not being managed was a horrific, tyrannical woman boss. You see, women comprise 40% of the bullies, and they choose women as their targets in 7 out of 10 cases. And so this woman boss wanted to get this other woman under her supervision because she wanted to control her. And the happy woman was later reassigned to the tyrannical boss. So the woman got her way. The supervisor got her way, convinced corporate to give her this woman. And it has shattered her life. And she has seen this woman be autocratic and demanding and bullying and petty. And she said, I'll never work for you. In fact, she boasted she'd never work for her. So obviously the bully took that as a challenge. And now the woman is losing her job. The woman worker's losing her job because she refuses to work under the tyrant. And that's how it goes. She's going to lose her health care and everything else that goes with it. And here's the irony. She works for a giant health insurance company. So they don't really care so much about the health of their own employees because it's more important that the petty tyrant have her say and have her way to bring this other woman under her control.
I'll bet that many of our listeners out there have actually been involved or experienced bullying in the workplace, and they might not even know about it. I understand that in many European countries there are laws against bullying. Are there any laws in the U.S.?
No, there are not. The movement and therefore the first law began in Sweden, actually, and it spread throughout the European continent, and many of those countries have anti-bullying laws. Australia has them. England has some very relevant laws. Ireland has laws. Yes, in fact, most of the Western industrialized world has laws everywhere except in the U.S. At the time of this podcast, 3 Canadian provinces have laws. But no, there are no laws. We're working in the legislative campaign to enact a law here on a state-by-state basis in the U.S. To date, 17 states have introduced some version of our anti-bullying bill, which we call the Healthy Workplace Bill. But it has yet to pass into law. It's an uphill battle.
Well, let's hope that that bill can get passed, because there certainly should be some laws in place in the U.S. against workplace bullying. Without an actual law in place, how can someone be proactive to protect themselves from bullying at work in the U.S.?
The plan for what an individual can do is captured pretty much in our book, The Bully at Work, and on our website. And I'll tell you, the odds are against the person, once they're targeted, of surviving that job. We know that it's a 77% chance they're going to lose the job they love once they're targeted. And, of course, these are uninvited assaults. So what can a person do? Well, the goal here, you'll recall, that in our definition is health-harming mistreatment. So the goal is to restore one's mental health and leave intact if you must leave, or at least stay with the minimal emotional damage to your health. The stress-related health complications can be quite severe. So these are the 3 steps. Number 1, name it. The quicker you name it, the quicker you externalize the blame. You will not blame yourself. You will see there is a wrongdoer doing something to you and that has been uninvited. And you can move on, and you can start searching for a solution. But usually, until you name it as bullying or psychological violence or psychological harassment, you'll mistakenly think that something you caused to happen. That's the nature of targethood. Step 2, you need to take time off. You need respite time. You need to heal, and you need to accomplish 4 tasks while you're off work. So go off work. Do not use workers' compensation. Use disability or sick time or unpaid leave, but go off work and check your physical health. Your physician will have a lot to say about the impact of stress on your body, and you can gauge if you're being harmed. You need to check in with a mental health professional to make sure you're not crazy and that you're emotionally adjusting, and they can remind you that this is a problem from the outside. You need to, third thing you need to check on is whether or not you have any redress. Does the company have a policy? Against violence, undoubtedly, yes, and so verbal abuse is always a part of that. They will probably not have a policy against violence because we at Work Doctor are the company that's writing these policies, and they're very, very rare in the United States. So you won't do have that. But if we know that in 1 in 5 bullying cases, discrimination plays a role. So seek some legal counsel to see if you have any legal standing. Bullying, as we said, is not illegal in any state in the U.S., however, discrimination is, and that sometimes is a smaller part of the bullying. And fourth, because people who are bullied, the targets we call them, tend to blame themselves, slide into clinical depression, or at least very strong anxiety, and some people, like the one example teacher I told you about, suffer trauma, they'll crawl between the sheets and be rendered dysfunctional. They're not going to be able to operate normally. They're not going to be able to get that next job. They're not going to be able to move on with their lives. To prevent that type of breakdown, we suggest that you distract yourself with a research project. Gather data about how expensive that bully is to the company or the agency you work for. And to do that, you can make these telephone calls because you're off work. Call former workers. Try and gauge the impact on turnover, absenteeism, health care utilization, workers' comp cases, the disability, the expenses that you, people like you present to the company, and try and gauge in dollars and cents the impact of that bully. Then, step one was name it, step two is respite, step three, take that business case to the highest level person in the company you can find, typically not human resources, not HR, and present the case that the bully was too expensive to keep. They want to keep them, but show them how it's counterproductive, counter to delivering good service, and very, very costly. And if they do not believe you or they don't want to make the bully change because they're loyal to the bully more so than improving your health and productivity and taking care of business, then you could not continue to work there anyway. So when you leave, if you leave, you will leave with your head held high, pointing an accusatory finger toward the wrongdoer and not blaming yourself. And we find that with that positive mental health departure, you'll be able to land on your feet and move on. That place didn't deserve you. That's, you never, never should work under such an abusive set of work conditions. So it's good for your health to get out if you're going to get out, but go out on your own terms. That's the method for going out. Do not learn to cope with a bully. Do not turn yourself inside out to please the bully. Do not appease the bully. Do not change who you are just to hold on to your job. And during recessionary times, this is an even tougher task. But your mental health and your physical health, please know that stress-related complications include cardiovascular disease and all the rest, gastrointestinal problems, fibromyalgia, diabetes, kidney disease. These are all stress-related complications. None of that is worth it to stay. So don't turn inward. Don't blame yourself. Take our three-step method and apply it. It'll be the best thing for your health.
Well, that's great information. Thank you very much for sharing your expertise with us and providing this valuable information to our listeners of this podcast. And this here concludes our podcast. And I want to thank everyone for listening. And again, I'd like to thank Gary Namy of the Workplace Bullying Institute. It was definitely a pleasure speaking with you.
I want to thank Evie Dentz for allowing me the opportunity to meet your audience. I think the service with Digital Diary is something that bully targets can use. They need to document, As I said, building the business case is going to require documentation. They're going to have to get records of the incidents. And so they don't get lost, stolen, misplaced, or miscast as suddenly being fabricated. I think the services you folks provide would be invaluable.
How can people get in contact with you, Gary?
The easiest way to reach us is through our portal at Workplace Bullying Institute website, workplacebullying.org.
Well, don't hesitate to contact Gary if you have more questions on bullying. His website, again, is www.workplacebullying.org. And remember what Gary said, that if you want to build a business case against the bully, you need to collect information to prove that case. The Evidence Digital Diary gives you a great way to collect your evidence. With the Evidence Digital Diary, you now have court-presentable facts, chronological documentation, have to be organized, and credibility of evidence. That's key. Don't wait. Sign up for the Evidence Digital Diary today at www.evidence.com. This is Andy Williams with Evidence Corporation, reminding you that facts count. Don't forget, collect everything, and start protecting yourself today.